Good morning, and welcome to the GCC Fourth Quarter 2017 Earnings Conference Call. Before we begin, I would like to remind you this call is being recorded and that the information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to the detailed note in the company's earnings report regarding forward-looking statements. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Enrique Escalante, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, everyone. Joining me today are Luis Carlos Arias, our CFO, and other members of our finance team. We have a lot to talk about this morning, mostly good news. GCC has an outstanding fourth quarter and strong full-year results. At the beginning of 2017, we said we expected to improve our EBITDA margin by at least 150 basis points. Our actual full-year result was an increase of 180 basis points. We also reached our 2x EBITDA leverage objective at year-end. The leverage ratio fell to 1.86x at the end of 2017. We begin 2018 with a promising business outlook, particularly in the U.S., where we foresee solid increases in demand and cement prices. I will start by discussing the main drivers of our performance in the U.S. and Mexico. Luis Carlos will review the financial results, and I will then discuss our outlook for 2018. We will then open the call to your questions. First, GCC's performance drivers. Our U.S. operations benefited from a robust demand in most of our markets. We are seeing the greatest demand growth in the Permian Basin oil fields in West Texas and New Mexico, construction in Minnesota and the Minneapolis-Saint Paul metro area, continued strength in Colorado, particularly in Denver and the Front Range, across all customer segments. We also see some signs of recovery in North Dakota's Bakken oil region as a result of the upturn in oil prices. This underlying demand growth was boosted by good weather well into December. Rainy summer weather created some construction delays in July and August. We saw a complete reversal in the fourth quarter. This enabled our clients to get back on schedule and, in some cases, do more work than planned. U.S. cement sales volume increased 8% in the fourth quarter and 29% in the full year. Let me add that Rapid City expansion is on budget and on schedule. Construction was 75% done at year-end and will be completed in the first half of 2018. We expect to start operations at the beginning of the third quarter. During the fourth quarter, we also secured a modification to our federal coal leases for the Colorado mine, adding another 7 years of reserves. GCC acquired 19 years of additional limestone reserves for the South Dakota plant. In Mexico, we saw several large commercial projects generating demand. This includes a new Heineken brewery, a glass bottling plant, and a Mead Johnson factory. These projects boost volumes and also improve the overall mix of products sold. In Southwest Chihuahua, a variety of mining projects continued to feed demand. This made up for relatively soft performance earlier in the year and the continued lack of public sector projects. Mexico cement volumes grew 6%, and ready-mix volumes increased 15% in the quarter. We also improved our operational performance, especially with transportation and fuel expenses. As we have said previously, earlier in 2017, we decided to dedicate 100% of the production of the Odessa, Texas plant and a portion of the Tijuana, New Mexico production to oil well cement. This meant reworking our transportation and distribution network to meet demand for construction cement in West Texas market with additional shipments from Samalayuca and Pueblo, Colorado. As a result, The utilization rate of these two plants reached 90% and 87% respectively. We succeeded in rebalancing our transportation mix between rail and truck and optimized our logistics and scheduling in a way that reduced total transfer freight cost per ton by about 17% in 2017. GCC also continues to increase the use of alternative fuels in the Pueblo plant. We use shared tires for part of Pueblo's thermal energy needs, with the near-term goal of reaching a 20% substitution rate. As of December, Juarez reached an alternative fuel substitution rate of 48%, Samalayuca 36%, and Chihuahua 14%. We're in the process of obtaining permits to use alternative fuels in the Rapid City and Tijeras plant. The better mix of transportation and reduced fuel costs from using alternative fuels were among the factors that helped expand EBITDA margin. Let me turn the call over to Luis Carlos to review the specific financial results. Luis Carlos?
Thank you, Enrique. Good morning to everyone. As Enrique noted, our fourth quarter results were well above expectations. Consolidated net sales increased 28% in the quarter, with growth coming from both the U.S. and Mexico. In the U.S., strong backlog and good weather meant that U.S. volumes surged. Cement sales volumes increased 30%. Excluding the acquisitions, volumes were up 5%. Average dollar prices rose 6%. U.S. ready-mix volumes rose 10%, principally because of the 2016 acquisitions and demand in the Texas market, while prices were up 2% year-over-year. Excluding the acquisitions, concrete volumes decreased 1.5% because of slowdowns in some other regions. In Mexico, fourth quarter cement sales volumes increased 6%, while prices rose 11%. Ready-mix volumes rose 15%, and prices increased 7%. As Enrique noted, the increases were driven by demand from the self-construction, mining, and commercial segments. There continues to be a near complete absence of public works projects. As a percentage of sales, consolidated costs decreased 4.1 percentage points, and operating expenses decreased 2.3 percentage points. As Enrique mentioned, these cost and expense reductions relative to sales enabled the EBITDA margin to expand by 570 basis points. The margin expansion reflects different factors: higher prices and volumes, increased operating leverage, improved operations, including substitution of alternative fuels, and stabilization of freight costs. EBITDA grew 58% to $71 million, with a 29.9% margin. Our EBITDA margin in Mexico reached 37.6%, and our U.S. margins reached 27.4%, a new high since the 2008 crisis. For the full year 2017, EBITDA grew 32.3% and reached $250 million, and the EBITDA margin expanded 180 basis points over 2016 levels and reached 27%. Fourth quarter 2017 free cash flow reached $65 million, an increase of 24% of the prior year period. For the full year, free cash flow grew to $112 million, or 4% above 2016. This increase was a result of the strong growth in EBITDA that more than offset increased interest expense from the financing of the Texas and New Mexico acquisition and a higher level of maintenance CapEx, also mostly the result of the acquisition. GCC's leverage ratio, which is defined as net debt over EBITDA, decreased from 2.57 at the end of 2016 to 1.86 times in December 2007. I will now return the call to Enrique.
Thank you, Luis Carlos. My final topic today is GCC's outlook for 2018. We expect to build on our successful 2017 performance in the current year. Customer demand appears likely to remain solid in most of our U.S. markets. The Portland Cement Association forecast for 2018 imply an average expected volume growth of about 2% in our market. This is mostly driven by demand in the oil well, residential, and commercial construction segment. We should see some FAST Act-related projects taking shape toward the end of the year. GCC is also currently bidding on supplying several wind power projects and soil stabilization projects. We remain cautiously optimistic of additional demand resulting from the recently announced infrastructure plan. Based on the PCA forecast, GCC's outlook is for low single-digit growth in the U.S. cement and ready-mix volumes. The balance of supply and demand in the U.S. is also favorable, so we expect another year of price increases in the 3 to 5% range for both cement and ready-mix. The outlook is more uncertain in Mexico because of factors we're all familiar with. The impact of the national election in July 2018 and the ongoing NAFTA trade negotiations are hard to predict. Nonetheless, our current view is cautiously optimistic. The private sector in the export-oriented economy that dominates Chihuahua has shown its resiliency and adapting to the new environment over the last 15 months. Rising commodity prices boost the mining sector. And since there has been no public work spending in the state for the past 2 years, there is no downside risk in this market segment. GCC's central forecast is for Mexico cement and concrete volumes to be flat and for prices in peso terms to increase in the mid-single-digit range. On a consolidated basis, GCC expects EBITDA to increase by mid-single digit. In terms of CapEx, GCC's budget is $120 million. This is divided almost 50-50 between the remaining investment in the Rapid City plant expansion and major maintenance expenditures. We don't see significant changes in working capital needs. Our expectation is for working capital to decrease slightly. GCC has already surpassed our goal of bringing leverage below 2.0 times. This is the board's directive for the long term. Steady-state leverage maximum. This is what gives us the flexibility to pursue attractive growth opportunities that meet our strategic criteria. If we make acquisitions in the future, leverage may temporarily go above 2 times, but only with a clear path to bringing it back below that level. In closing, I want to say that GCC's exceptional performance in 2017 has truly been a team effort. I give my thanks to all of our employees for their skills and dedication in achieving or surpassing our business objectives. GCC has a sound business model. We are building a strong, consistent operational and financial track record. We have a solid capital structure and leverage profile. We're well positioned to take advantage of new market opportunities and navigate any external challenges we could face in our market. I'm confident that we are on the right path that will increase and deliver the highest value to our shareholders and other stakeholders. This concludes our remarks for today's call. At this time, we are ready to take your questions. Thank you, operator.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. take our first question from Pablo Ricalde with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, good morning. Thanks for the call and congrats on the results. I have some questions on your EBITDA growth guidance. Based on your volume and price assumptions, I was expecting something slightly higher. So I don't know if you could provide some color on what are you expecting in terms of energy costs and FX.
Pablo, thank you for your question. As you will know, our multi-annual objective is to continue to increase margins in this year at the rate of between 150 and 200 basis points per year. I have to say that we have a conservative outlook for 2018, and we remain cautiously optimistic this year that we can achieve a little better results, but we prefer to be on the conservative side. And the main reason is, of course, I mentioned the Mexico uncertainty and volatility. Increasing freight costs resulting from not enough drivers in the U.S., especially during the high peak project construction season. And also natural gas prices that continue at a very low level that are affecting the decrease of EBITDA in our coal business. So those three factors are incorporated in our forecast, and that's why, I mean, we are not seeing, I mean, higher EBITDA increase for 2018. I have to say, however, that these three aspects that I mentioned have, of course, upside potential that can result in higher EBITDA and higher margins of EBITDA.
Okay, useful. And sure. I don't know if you can share the FX assumption you're using for your Mexican operations.
We are assuming 19 pesos per dollar.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from Dan McGoey, the Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Congratulations on the results. I'm wondering if you could recap the price increase announcements that you've made thus far, if they're in select markets or in all of them, and what level of announcement you've sent out. And then secondly, if I can ask on the coal business in the U.S., I mean, the margin expansion that you experienced both year-on-year and sequentially has been impressive. I was wondering how much of that may have been contributed from the sharp increase in coal prices. Can you give an idea of what that contributed to the result in the fourth quarter? Thanks.
Okay. On the first question, then, first of all, thank you for both of your questions. On the first one, I'll start with Mexico first. In Mexico, we announced prices for bag cement in a range between 4.5 and 5%. And that was, I mean, starting the year. For bulk cement, we are between 6 and 6.5%. Both price increases in both, I mean, product segments are going well. We don't expect to have, I mean, really much pushback on those price increases. If we achieve those, I mean, we will be probably a little bit ahead of expected inflation, which is what we wanted to achieve this year as a minimum. For the U.S., our price increases, depending on market, and as you mentioned, on selective market, are ranging from $6 to $8 per ton, with some other specific markets where we are trying to achieve up to $10 per ton. We definitely believe that given that some of the increases were announced for January, but the bulk of them for April, we will end up with above $6 per ton. As for your question on the coal effect on our margin in the fourth quarter, we don't see any effect coming from coal, definitely. I mean, we are producing at the same cost which is what we take into consideration for the decision to operate on coal or switch the plants to gas. The fourth quarter, we continued with all the plants in coal, which was better for the company with no change in the transfer coal price. So there is no effect in our EBITDA derived from that.
Great, thanks. And then on the price, though, the ones that were for the U.S., the price increases in January, which markets were those, or what percentage of your U.S. business saw price increases in January?
In January, we announced price increases in the regions of New Mexico, El Paso, Texas. Basically, the rest is coming in April.
Great. Thanks very much.
And if you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself by pressing star 2. And we'll take our next question from Mauricio Serna with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions and congratulations on the results. I want to talk a little bit about the guidance, going back to the price increase in Mexico. I wanted to get your sense, since the rest of the market has announced like bigger price increases, do you see a relatively a scenario for a pushback on that, and that's why you're assuming a more conservative approach? And just, what you were guiding on EBITDA, just going back to the previous question also, does this mean, for this year we would expect a slower or maybe just flattish EBITDA margins? And finally, just more on the strategic side, I saw that the press release now was published in U.S. dollars, so I think that's, a very good move. So how does this mean, we could continuously see the company taking steps, for instance, to eventually have the ADR, an ADR listed in the U.S.? Thank you.
Thank you, Mauricio. Let me comment first on your question on Mexican prices. We obviously in Chihuahua have, a very robust, price. So we believe that the increase that we made here will continue to protect our market share in the state. Going above the prices that we are increasing, we believe there is going to be increased appetite for cement in other parts of the country to reach the state. So that's a. And besides that, we have a very robust price increase in 2017, as you know. So we feel very comfortable with this price that we announced. Let me go to your last question first, and then I will get back to the guidance on EBITDA. No, we have not decided, to issue an ADR or anything like that in the U.S. What I can tell you is that, like many companies, we're always looking at alternatives and are always making the right analysis, for the company and its investors. But at this moment, we've not decided to list DCC in the U.S. Going back to your guidance on EBITDA, as we said, it's in the single digit for the company as a whole. I don't know if your question was relative to the company as a whole, or you were asking specifically about Mexico.
No, the company as a whole.
And I'm not sure if I answered your question, Diego.
Does it mean that probably this year we're going to see a slowdown in the EBITDA margin expansion, or, seems, assuming we have pricing and volumes, looks like we would be pretty much seeing an EBITDA growing in line with sales?
Most likely it's in line with sales, and that's what I mentioned at the beginning, that there's some possible upside potential. However, we want to remain in the conservative side, especially in Mexico, as I mentioned, because of that uncertainty and volatility. So that's why we're forecasting flat volumes and only the, I mean, above inflation price increases. That's where the growth is basically going to come in the EBITDA in Mexico.
Got it. Thanks.
And our next question comes from Froylan Mendez at J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my question. Congrats on the results. Wanted to understand a little bit more the margin expansion that was abnormal, in my view, for fourth quarter. Could you give us a little bit more color on how are the utilization rates of the different plants across the system? If you are seeing something there that is allowing for additional margin expansion, especially maybe Odessa and Samalayuca. That's my first question. My second question is on your acquisition outlook, given the strong free cash flow generation. We are at levels similar to when you did the previous acquisition. Should we be expecting, or are you getting closer to anything more concrete in that sense, or is more to increase dividends or start a buyback or anything there? And finally, sorry for being repetitive here, but if you're keeping the 150 to 200 basis point multi-year expansion target, does that mean that if margins stay flat this year, should we expect this catch-up to be done in 2019 and maybe coming from the expansion on Rapid City, or how, where will the margin expansion come going forward, and if 2019 is a one-off year in your view? Thank you.
Thank you, Freeland. Well, we have multiple questions from you here, so ask Luis Carlos to give you the more specific margin expansion for the last quarter of 2017, but while he pulled those numbers, let me try to answer, the rest of the questions. In terms of utilization rate, as I mentioned, we're in the U.S. plant. I can tell you that in Odessa, we're full capacity. And as you heard, Pueblo, it's running, close to 87% capacity, and Samalayuca 90% capacity. And I mentioned Samalayuca because of its important impact in our U.S. market. Rapid City is running at full capacity. Obviously, we're coming up with 440,000 additional tons in the second part of the year that will be placed in the market, slowly and responsibly. But having said that, basically our U.S. plant, except for the 440 additional thousand tons, are around 90% of capacity already this 2018. This, of course, goes into your third question about our outlook of our margin expansion because of that. Yes, we are very optimistic that in the U.S., prices are going to continue to be robust. I wouldn't discard on certain markets being able to announce a second increase for the year. We're not putting that into our guidance at this moment. We're going to, decide as we go, and we see the performance of each individual market. But there are some markets that are definitely, very tight. One of them is, of course, all the West Texas oil basin in the Permian. In terms of the acquisition outlook, there's nothing today that we can talk about. But, of course, we'll continue looking for opportunities according to our strategy to expanding cement in the U.S., and expanding cement in the U.S. if possible, near the region where we currently operate, so we can take advantage of the synergies with our logistics system there. We don't have plans to increase dividends beyond what the company normally pays out, and we will prefer, I mean, to keep, I mean, lowering our leverage ratio and build, I mean, the cash, I mean, to be ready for the next acquisition or growth opportunity that we can work on. The expansion on the margin of the 150 to 200 basis points per year, yes, definitely, it's a long-term objective. 2018 may be a little bit slower. I mean, if none of the three aspects that I mentioned where we're being cautiously optimistic change, namely, again, Mexico, I mean, freight cost increase because of lack of drivers, and natural gas prices affecting, I mean, the whole business. But some of those change, we may be able to, I mean, help improve the margins beyond what the price increases are going to do for us, I mean, this year. And the Rapid City expansion, we don't expect to have a much of an impact on the EBITDA margin this year because, as I said, we're going to absorb, I mean, slowly that capacity into the market so we don't create, I mean, big disruptions. And that means that the freight savings coming from that new volume are going to be materialized mostly in 2019. With this, I'm going to go back to Luis Carlos for him to give you, I mean, the specific, I mean, drivers for the margin expansion in the last quarter.
Thank you, Enrique. Hi, Roland. Yes, on the 570 bps increase in the margin for the quarter, of course, volumes and prices played a huge factor. We had a long construction season during the fourth quarter because we had a very good weather, as Enrique explained in his remarks. And yes, utilization rates were definitely helped the operating leverage. Just as an example, the San Maluca plant utilization rate in 2016 was around 50%, and we ended up last year, 2017, with around 90% utilization. So, of course, that helps a lot in having the operating leverage to have this huge margin expansion.
And our next question comes from Jose Solche or Zincha. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for your excellent results. I just would like to ask you if the change in the corporate tax in U.S. is going to benefit your plans that you have there, and by how much is your estimate in the bottom line? Thank you.
Thank you, Jose. Yes, well, the effect of the change in the tax rate, of course, helps the company. We do have NOLs coming from the tough years, so we're gonna see that benefit eventually when we deplete those NOLs. But definitely, yes, it is a plus for us, of course, because of all of our operation in the year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Gordon Lee with BTG. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks very much for the call. Two quick questions. The first on the U.S., I was wondering if you could tell us across the different regions in which you operate, which are the markets that you think are tightest from a demand and supply standpoint? And the second question on Chihuahua, I was wondering if, you know, beyond 2018, if you were to look sort of at the pipeline of projects on the private side, how meaningful do you think the pipeline is if there's a favorable resolution to the NAFTA question? And on the public side, how confident are you or how do you feel about some of the progress on the fiscal consolidation that the new government has taken? And would you expect the state by 2019 to be able to start spending again? Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon. First, on the question in the U.S. regions, definitely the Permian Basin and the West Texas market, it's super tight, and we expect it to continue for the full year. Actually, we are analyzing plans with some other kilns that are not fully utilized here in Mexico to see if, I mean, those could be also a solution to for us, I mean, to ship more cement into that market. As we mentioned, oil prices are also having now a positive effect on the back end, although that it's not a tight market by no means today. I mean, we're thinking that it could be a good surprise in our market. Colorado continues to be, I mean, very busy. It's not completely tight because there's still some idle capacity there at the Holcim plant. And as we start up the Rapid City plant, that volume naturally for us is going to show up in Colorado because of shipments from Pueblo that we're going to start bringing back to home. So there's going to be, I mean, enough supply in the market, but still, I mean, that market, it's very, very dynamic. I just met with some customers there last week, and they all, I mean, seem to expect a busy year, very comparable to what they saw in 2017. Minneapolis and Paul, we also had a comment from a customer, a very important customer in the Twin Cities market, that they are expecting a much better year. I think that will be the order in which we see, I mean, the dynamics of the market. I think there is, I mean, room for improvement, I mean, still in New Mexico, in the El Paso, Texas area, and some other less important markets for us. In terms of your question for Chihuahua, definitely the 2018 pipeline, it's not, you use the word meaningful. I don't think it's meaningful. I think it's, things are, I mean, just looking okay, but we don't see any big significant projects, nor we have any significant project in the horizon. Yesterday, I was, I mean, informed of another two large condominium towers, one in Chihuahua and one in Juarez, that were both just permitted. So that's also a good sign that in the commercial and residential business, I mean, there's going to be, I mean, activity. In terms of the maquiladora industry, there is expansion. There is definitely a big expansion on Vestas, that it's building a lot of additional space in Juarez, projects in which we're, of course, working on today. There's another company that is building a manufacturing business. It's a speculative building. So it's already a sign that there are people believing that, I mean, irrespective of the end result of the NAFTA negotiations, there is going to be, I mean, more demand for manufacturing in the Juarez area. In terms of public and construction from the state government, and yes, I do believe that the fiscal condition of the state is going to improve. Also, yesterday I was informed of some additional small, if you want, but projects funded by the state government in Juarez for this year. So for 2019, I definitely expect, I mean, an improvement in terms of the potential for infrastructure work from the state government. As you probably heard in the news, I mean, the issues between, I mean, the federal government and the state government in terms of federal funds, I mean, were already settled. So that's also a good indication that things are going to continue to progress in the right direction here.
Perfect. That's very clear. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. And we'll take our next question from Pablo Ricaldi, Bank of America. Please go Your line is open.
Thanks. Sorry, I was on mute. I have a follow-up question on oil-related cement. Yesterday, Martin Marietta announced that they want to become an active player on oil-related cement. So my question is, how are you seeing the competitive landscape in the sector, and if you're seeing any additional new players coming into the sector?
Thank you, Pablo. No, what you said doesn't surprise me. I mean, there's so much activity in the Permian Basin, and there is unfulfilled demand that I have been hearing for many months now that Martin Marietta has an interest in becoming a player there. I think that, of course, we will always have, I mean, the main competitive advantage by being right there and having to, I mean, basically have no freight to deliver, I mean, the cement to that basin. Also, this is, I mean, traditionally a preferred product, the one coming from the Odessa cement plant, because of, I mean, the quality and the chemistry of the product that has approved a history and good track record of working very well for all the major oil well service companies. So I think there's, I mean, obviously appetite from others, but we're very comfortable with what we're seeing there.
Okay, thanks.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And there appear to be no questions at this time.
Well, there are no more questions. We want to thank everyone for your participation in this call today. Of course, I mean, if there is any further questions, we will be very glad to answer them. And just talk here to Ricardo and Luis Carlos, and we'll answer all of them. Thank you very much for your participation. Thank you, operator.
Thank you. And this concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.